Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Continued reading about Oman. It's a Gulf state, I suppose, on Arabia, an Arabian state. And I started off with Bahrain, which is an island. Qatar, which is basically a sandbank, a low 60-kilometre... Well, 120 kilometre by 60 kilometre long sandbank, and with a maximum height of 104 metres. And then, UAE, which is like a complete scrambled omelette of seven Emirates, at the tip of... the Arabian Peninsula. And so UAE sticks in on a little peninsula which goes in, which almost closes off the Persian Gulf. So the Persian Gulf goes in, shrinks to this around UAE. Now UAE and Oman is like a complete splodged patchwork. So there's Oman further south. Then there's a little island of Oman in the middle of UAE, and in that island is another little speck of UAE, which is 40 houses, a clinic, and a telephone exchange, if I remember correctly. Then the very tip is owned by Oman, and then there's other islands which are disputed in there. It's sort of like a complete, absolute nightmare. So Oman's an interesting place. It's a sultanate of Oman, and well, let's say the symbol is the most we've got a national emblem. So they've got red, white and green, which are the Arabian colours, as used a lot of time. Black, white and red is used again, but this has got the Oman symbol. And what is it? I don't know what the symbol means. I've got it there. I don't know what it means. It's got a beautiful national anthem called Sultanic Salutation. Blah, 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 blah. I will have to listen to it. So I'm going to read through it. So UAE is the extreme case of, like, you see deteriorating human rights, and UAE gets perhaps down the bottom of it with crucifixions, stonings, no beheadings, but amputations are allowed. And then if you report gang rape, which happens at 3 to 1, 4 to 1 population, male, female population, you get stoned and lashed for it. So it's sort of, after reading that, it's a bit icky to read about UAE. But so UAE is sort of like a just the next door neighbour to Oman. Now, the interesting thing is that I haven't quite worked out how this operates, in that Saudi Arabia and everyone hates Qatar. So I don't know whether there's something similar to that in the Western world. People really don't hate the French. I was trying to think, anyone who really hates anyone in the West. No, we don't hate New Zealanders. We hate, possibly hate Americans, but it's not, it's not the way Qatar is hated. And they're going to try and cut it off with a canal, build a big canal, the sandbank, and just say, see you later, see if they can push them off into the banks. However, I don't know quite, Saudi Arabia's doesn't continue all the way around, but a lot of these borders are pretty waffly around here. Oman, officially the Sultanate of Oman, is a country in the southeastern coast of the Arabian Peninsula in Western Asia. Located in a strategically important position at the mouth of the Persian Gulf, the country shares land borders with the United Arab Emirates. You're not joking. You couldn't share more borders with a country than that. Saudi Arabia to the west and Yemen to the southwest. Shares marine borders with Iran and Pakistan. Oh, yeah, I suppose. Close ones. The Marder and Musan Dam exclaves are surrounded by UA on their land borders. Oh, there's two. They're not enclaves. They're an enclave in your country, but if you've got an enclave in another country, it's enclave. So there's two. With the Strait of Hormuz, which is surrounded by the UAE on their land borders, and with this, there is two, yeah. So there's the Strait of Hormuz, which shares with Iran, and the Gulf of Oman forming Usman's coastal boundaries. From the 17th century, Omani Sultanate was the most powerful empire, vying with the Portuguese Empire and the British Empire for influence in the Persian Gulf and the Indian Ocean. At its peak in the 19th century, Omani influence or control extended across the Strait of Hormuz to the modern-day Iran and Pakistan, as far, far south as Zanzibar. Zanzibar is such... What a magnetic name. If only I could remember these things. This is the whole problem with this memory stuff. You can't remember things. But I really want to find out about Zanzibar. It sounds like such a, we're going to Zanzibar. Look, going for holiday, it's sort of like mystical. What is it like? When its power declined in the 20th century, the Sultanate became under the influence of the United Kingdom for over 300 years. Oh my God, so it was a superpower, was it? For over 300 years, the relations built between the two empires are based on mutual benefits. The UK recognised Oman's geographic importance as a trading hub and secured their trading lanes in the Persian Gulf and Indian Oceans and protected their empire in the Indian subcontinent. So Oman had an empire in the Indian subcontinent? Historically, Muscat was the principal trading port in the Persian Gulf region. Muscat was also among the most important trading ports in the Indian Ocean. So Muscat is in Oman. Wow, I've always understood there's a drink called Muscat. Sultan Qaboos bin Saad al-Saad was the hereditary leader of the country, which is an absolute monarchy from 1970 until his death in January 2020. Wow, his cousin. Wow, so he's just kicked the bucket. Hatham bin means of. His dad is Takari. Was named the country's new ruler following his death. Oman is a member of the United Nations, Arab League, Gulf Cooperation Council, Non-Aligned Movement, Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Well, you can still sort of see that if it was... Oh, I don't know. I hope human rights... Let's see what it does to human rights. That'd be awful. It can't be... UAE has to be the worst. You can't get worse than UAE, for a thing. It has sizable oil reserves, ranking 25th globally. In 2010, the United Nations Development Programme ranked Oman as the most improved nation in the world in terms of development during the preceding 40 years. Oman is categorised as a high-income country, ranked 69th most peaceful country in the world according to the Global Peace Index. Australia's up around 10. So the Global Peace Index indicates homicide. So you can be peaceful, but they just don't have to report anything. Let's see. GDP per capita. Let's see, what does it say? Per capita, 47. So it's a bit under Australia. The origin of Adam's name is uncertain. It seems to be related to Pliny the Elder's Omana and Ptolemy's Omanon and probably ancient Sohar. The city or region is typically etymologized in Arab from Amen or Amon, settled people, as opposed to Bedouin. Although a number of the eponymous founders have been proposed, Oman bin Ibrahim al-Khalil, Oman bin Sal bin Yagatan bin Imran, Oman bin Qatan, and the biblical Lot. The others have derived the name from a valley in Yemen, at Marib, presumed to have been the origin of the city's founders, the Azad tribe migrating from Yemen. History. At the Albut al-Alwa in Dhofar, governorate of Oman, a site was discovered in 2012 containing more than 100 surface scatters of stone tools belonging to a regionally specific lithic industry, the late Nubian complex, known previously only from the northeast of the Horn of Africa. To optically stimulated luminescence, ages, the estimates, well, that's a laser luminescence. I've forgotten what the different ways you do it. Oh, this is electron spin luminescence. Don't quite remember how it's done, how you do electron trapping. I think it's the number of color centers in them. Okay, let's see. Estimates the place, the area of Nubian complex at 106,000 years old. This supports the proposition that early human populations moved from Africa into Arabia during the late Pleistocene. Oh, I wish I knew that spin resonance technique that you do things. In recent years, surveys have uncovered Paleolithic and Neolithic sites on the eastern coast. The main Paleolithic sites include Swar and Gahan, and in the Bar al-Hikman archaeological remains are particularly numerous for the Bronze Age, Na, and the Wadi Suda periods. Sites such as Bat show professional wheel-turned pottery, excellent handmade stone vessels, a metal industry, and monumental architecture. In early 1300 to 300 BC and the late Iron Ages, 100 BC to 300 AD, what I suppose you could call that. Well, I suppose we are in the Iron Age, so it's more difference and similarities to each other. Thereafter, until the coming of Ibadi Islam, little or nothing is known. So Ibadi is their special breed of Omani Islam. During the 8th century BC, it is believed that Yarub, the descendants of Khatan, K-A-H-T-A-N, not Khatan, ruled the entire region of Yemen, including Oman. Watil bin Himma bin Abdul Sams Saba bin Jashub bin Jarub later ruled Oman. This means this is where you get to the dads. So eventually, at the end of time, someone will be bin, 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 and it will run out of it. It is thus believed that the Yarub were the first settlers of Oman from Yemen. In the 70s and 80s, scholars like John C. Wilkinson believe, by virtue of oral history, that in the 6th century BC, the Achaemenids exerted controls of the Omani Peninsula, most likely ruling from the coastal centre of Suhar. Central Oman has its own indigenous Samand Late Iron Age cultural assemblage, named eponymously from Saddam al-Sham. In the northern part of the Oman Peninsula, the recent pre-Islamic period begins in the 3rd century BC and extends to the 3rd century AD. Whether or not the Persians brought southeastern Arabian under their control is a moot point, since the lack of Persian finds speak against this belief. M. Cousin de Percival suggests that Shamir bin Watil bin Hemar recognized the authority of Cyrus over the Omans in 1536 BC. Sort of, this is enough to get. I was just really trying to think about the electron spin dating. Well, I think they do electron spin dating of bones, but it's gone in my head. Sumerian tablets refer to Oman as Magan. The Akkadian language Makan, a name which links Oman's ancient copper resources. Mazun, a Persian name used to refer Oman's region, was part of the Sasian Empire, Arab settlement. Over the century, tribes from Western Arabia settled in Oman, making a living by fishing, farming, herding, or stock breeding. And many present-day Omani families trace their ancestral roots to other parts of Arabia. Arab migration to Oman started from the northwest into southwestern Arabia, and those who chose to settle had to compete with the indigenous population for the best arable land. They had to compete. They'd kill the bloody, bash the bloody daylights out of them, if I know them. When the Arab tribes started to migrate to Oman, there were two distinct groups. One group, a segment of the Azad tribe, migrated from the southwestern Arabia in AD 120 to 200, following the collapse of Marib Dam, while the other group migrated a few centuries before the birth of Islam from the central and northern Arabia, named Nazir Jidim. Other historians believe that Yaruba, like Azad, from Qatan, but belonged to an older branch, were the first settlers in Oman from Yemen. Then came the Yazid. So Oman's got its own form of Islam. Isn't that pretty amazing? You'd never know. So let's read a bit more about this. The Azad settlers from Oman are descendants from Nazir bin Azid, a branch of Yarub bin Qatan. Sorry, an Australian cannot pronounce any of this. This is why no Australians migrated there, partly because we hadn't been made up yet, but secondly, we couldn't hack pronunciation. And were later known as the Azid of Oman. 70 years after the first Azid migration, another branch of the Al-Zidi under Malik bin Farm, founder of the kingdom of Tanqanites, on the west of the Euphrates, is believed to have settled in Oman. According to the Al-Kalb, Maki bin Farm was first settled of Azad. He is to have first settled in Qalhat. By this account, Malik, with its armed force of more than 6,000 men and horses, fought against Marzaban, who served ambiguously named Persian king, in the Battle of Salut in Oman, and eventually defeated the Persian forces. Well, I wonder what an ambiguously named king is. It's ambiguously that he was a king, or no. This account, however, semi-legendary and seems to condense multiple centuries of migrations and conflict into a story of two campaigns that exaggerate the success of the Arabs. The account may also represent an amalgamation of various traditions, not only the Arab tribes, but the region's original happenings. Furthermore, no doubt, can be determined for the events of this story. So, you know, I hate to say this, but these people, it's just got a whiff of genocide in it. Just awful. It's just, you know, you've got to be careful what you wish for. In the 7th century AD, Omanis came in contact with and accepted Islam. The conversion of Omanis to Islam is ascribed to Amir bin al-As, who was sent by the Prophet Muhammad during the expedition to Zayd bin Hathra, Hishma. Amir was dispatched to meet Jaffa and Abid, the sons of Janad, who ruled Oman. They appeared to readily embrace Islam. What was it? Something about it. If someone came up to me and said, look, I want you, it's obviously the ultimate pyramid scheme. It's like, would you on sell Amway I just can't understand it. Just, you know, these days, how does it operate? How do you convince someone of it? Obviously, the Islamic people would say, well, look, this is such a great religion. It was so obviously the way to go, but it's just so hard to understand. The imamate, so the imamate of Oman, that's a little tongue twisted. Omani Azud used to travel to Basra for trade, which was the centre of Islam during the Umayyad Empire. Omani Azud were granted a section of Basra where they could settle and attend their needs. Many of the Omani Azad who settled in Basra became wealthy merchants, and under the leader Mahal bin Albi Safra started to expand their influence and power westwards to Khorasan. Ibadi Islam originated in Basra by the founder Abdullah bin Ibadah around the year 6 150 common era, 18, at which the Omani acid in Iraq followed. Later, Hala JJAJ, the governor of Iraq, came into conflict with the Abadis, which forced them out of out to Oman. So they're sort of an Iraq throw-off. Okay. Among those who returned to Oman was the scholar Jaber bin Zayed, Jaber bin Zayed. His return and the return of many other scholars greatly enhanced the Abadi's movement in Oman. Al-Hajjadi also made an attempt to subjugate Oman, which was ruled by Suleiman and Said, S-A-D, the sons of Abad bin Julanda, resorted to the Jebel Atkab. Majab and his forces went after Said and his forces and succeeded in besieging from a position of Wal Mastur. Majab later moved towards the coast, where he confronted Suleiman bin Ab. The battle was won, and Suleiman's forces, Ajah, however, sent another force under Abdul Rahman bin Suleiman and eventually won the war and took over the governance of Oman. Whoa! I just cannot understand. I know there's been military movements like Nazism with the German army and communism, but there was religious wars. The idea of religious wars, how it all can just it's hard to understand that, you know, you want to convert someone, you go to the leader, and the leader says, "Yep, it's done." Whereas nowadays, we need a huge ad campaign and TV and stuff like that. The first effective Imamate of Iran is believed to have been established. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.